This conference is being recorded.
Hey guys, Sid here, and today we're going to be doing sticky point analysis with one of my long-term coaching students, Dr. Love. Hey Dr. Love, how's it going?
Hey Sid.
So we're going to talk today. We just did a training in Miami, and we're going to kind of review what happened and what sticking points you need to work on going forward. So we went into Miami, and we worked specifically on daytime approaches. And the major issues you were having were kind of hooking sets and also using qualification without it coming off like a job interview. So let's go through some of the stuff.
Well, the first day, as you know, we walked down Lincoln Road, and I did a lot of approaches, and you sat back and listened to my approaches, and then you would critique me each time. And you worked on my walk just to get me walking with good body language. And you also
how's that worked been, on how's my, been working since? Have you been able to really keep those exercises that we worked on going?
Absolutely. I've been day gaming in a mall, and every time I'm walking down that mall, I'm thinking about how you taught me to walk and trying to just incorporate it until I do it without thinking.
Yeah, just going slower, swerving from the hips, making sure that you're elongating your movements and moving nice and smoothly. That's something that everyone can do that really makes a big difference, because just being slow and controlled is much, much more attractive than the way most guys walk. So it's really important that you really focus on body control, specifically for you, because we want to make sure that the communication that's getting across is what we want to get across, as opposed to just what you've normally been doing. And that's the whole thing with body language, is if you can look slow, calm, and in control, you'll have great body language.
So we worked on that, and then one thing that I think you did is you listened to my sets that first day, and you actually recognized that I needed more work in just internalizing the routines, because
yeah.
I've been to boot camps, but what you did is you picked up where the boot camps leave off. And so after watching me open 7 or 8 times at least on Lincoln Road, we went back to my room in the suite, and we sat down in the living room, and you actually made flashcards for situations, and you actually had me run through routines over and over again until I internalized them, so that when I was doing the routines, I could focus on things like my tonality, my body language, picking a point to lock into the set and getting locked into the set, things that that before I was distracted because I was just trying to remember the routine as I was doing it.
Yeah, that was a big thing, was when we made the flashcards, because I wanted you to work on the actual delivery. A lot of times people get routines and they expect routines to just be magic pills no matter how they're delivered. But a routine is only as good as the delivery behind it. So what we did was we sat down and I made a bunch of flashcards of different routines. And this is something that everyone can do. Write some routines out on a card and have someone drill them with you. And we put them in a bunch of different categories. We put them in openers, transitions, attraction stories, games, tests, all sorts of stuff like that, because you want to make sure that, A, there's not a big difference between the way your normal voice is and the way that you're running a routine. That's one of the big things that we had with you, was your normal voice is very nice and southern and it's got great tonality, but when you started running routines, you started to speed up because you were kind of worried about getting everything out there before the girls stopped listening. So we worked on slowing down, we worked on using pauses, we worked on using the proper vocal inflection, making sure that your voice goes up on questions, down on commands, and stays flat on statements. And just that alone will make a big difference, because it makes the delivery congruent to the emotional components behind it, which makes you a lot more real and makes things work a whole lot better.
And since doing that, I've gone out in malls and I've seen improvement. And not only that, you've had me get a tape recorder or a dictaphone and just practice the routines and have me listen to myself.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing since Miami.
What have you heard in the recordings?
I've heard sometimes that maybe still sometimes I can be a little nervous in my tone,
yeah,
and I want to try to get relaxed. And in fact, I'm doing my very best to try to follow one of your five rules, which is always be more relaxed than the girl. And so
absolutely,
right now I'm just more and more cognizant of making that happen, and I'm feeling more of that because of the preparation that I've done. So that's some of the improvement that's occurred since Miami. But listening to myself, it helps, and also it helps me to understand how important it is to get in state so that I can get into not nervous tone, flowing tone that you were talking about.
Yeah, that's a big thing for you, is just getting relaxed. And we noticed that in Miami, once you did a couple approaches and you got warmed up, you had a huge, huge benefit. Like, there was a huge jump in your game on your fourth, fifth, and sixth approach that wasn't there in the first three, because it takes you a little while to get going. So recognizing that tendency, that pattern that you have, is great, because now when you go out, instead of looking to knock your first three approaches out of the park, you know that part of the process for you is just to get warmed up, get into that good talkative state. And that really makes a big, big difference. So learning to do that is something that everyone can do. I always say the first three approaches don't even count. You do your first three just to get ready to do the ones that count. And that's something that you really personify. What else? So we had those issues. We had a couple issues with hooking the sets, especially moving girls. Let's talk a little bit about that. If you remember, there were a couple ones, the two really hot girls on Lincoln Road, and there were a couple others where we had a little bit of problems with the moving sets. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that so that you can have a better understanding of how to do that.
Well, what I learned from trying to hook two moving hot girls was when you open or use even a pre-opener, which you kind of taught me how to do that as well, you need to really get into what you're saying and get the girl's attention so that they don't just walk away real fast.
Yeah. Well, the thing with moving approaches is there's a couple different ways to handle them. The first way is to walk with them, right? To be walking in the same direction as them. With that approach with the two hot girls, we were trying to do that, but they didn't catch up. By the time they caught up, it was a little too late. So ideally, you want to be a step or two in front of them and then just kind of lean over your shoulder and run your opener while walking at the same time, because that has the least amount of resistance. Another way of doing it is to plant your feet and loudly scream your opener, like, "Hey, guys." And that's something that TD, Tyler Durden, was the first one to talk about. But if you plant your feet and you don't chase and they're going in the opposite direction of you, that'll really bring them back too, as long as you keep talking. Like, the key to moving sets is, because it's a socially awkward interaction, you're always going to have to keep plowing them with emotional stimulation. You're going to have to keep their minds occupied by talking a lot. And so by getting their approval, not approval, but their participation in the conversation through opinion openers and pre-openers and stuff, you'll see that the sets start to hook a lot better. And the last way is to just chase them down and go direct. And that's something that we haven't really experimented with you too much right now, but it's something we're going to get into in the future once we fix a couple of other things.
So
what were some more approaches that you remember that you have questions about?
Well, there were you alluded to it earlier. I would get into attraction, and this is particularly on the second day, because on the second day, having really internalized some routines, I was able to hold the sets longer, and so that got me to transitioning smoothly into qualification, where it didn't just come off as an obvious pickup, which that's what it's meant to be, but it's supposed to be smooth.
Yeah, that was a big thing, was you would start busting out the qualification questions before you had established any attraction, and sometimes that can work. but a lot of the time it doesn't. And if it doesn't hook, then you have to go back into attraction. And that's why I really wanted to focus on you internalizing and memorizing those routines, because you need stuff to do in attraction for when those qualification hoops don't take. So, for example, one of the things that I noticed was your tonality definitely was changing as you would go into qualification. It became a little harsher, and you forced the qualification out. It was like, are you adventurous? And it wasn't really super smooth. So we want to make sure that you're surrounding your qualifications with other stuff. So, for example, if you want to use the are you adventurous qualifier, you can say something like, are you adventurous because I really like adventurous girls and you seem cool. By giving her that little bit of a compliment, it's going to give her a reward that's going to kind of motivate her to jump through your hoop a little bit faster. So the other thing is, with the qualifiers, if they don't immediately take them, you have to instantly go back to attraction. So, for example, if you say to a girl, are you adventurous? And she's just kind of like, I don't know. You go, never mind. Back into attraction. And go, the funniest thing was happening to me earlier today before I was talking to you guys. I just have to tell someone about this. And then go into a routine, like any of the routines we taught, like Badass Kid or, you know, the story that we created for you about your identity and that kind of stuff. But go back into that stuff immediately so that there's not that awkward pause, because what happens is, when you're making a compliance request, compliance is always building momentum, either negatively or positively. So if you let that lack of compliance sit there, she's going to be reminded of the fact that she's not doing what you want her to do, and then she's going to be less likely to comply further on in the interaction, because she has to be committed and consistent with that decision that she's already made. So it's key that you really watch those reactions and you take it somewhere else as soon as something happens. As soon as you get the idea that you're not getting your compliance and your qualification isn't taking, back into attraction. Or back into social questions, right? Because during the day, you don't have to be quite as gamey. You just have to keep talking so it doesn't get awkward. Because during the daytime, she's going to have a lot of different kind of concerns and thoughts that she won't have at night. Like, is everybody watching me get picked up? Do I look like I'm, you know, getting picked up during the middle of the day? She's also not out in a necessarily social mode. So by you going first and being in a social headspace, she's going to get comfortable with that further on down the line. So things like, who are you out shopping for today? What brings you out today? That kind of just simple, boring question will allow her to get socially comfortable, where you can then do your attraction work of breaking rapport and building value.
And so one of your comments was get them to contribute to conversation, give them time to react when they hook. And so I think that's part of what you were talking about. You wanted me to do that so that if I did that, then I could more smoothly move into qualification.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like a big thing right there, is you have to understand that there's three different types of comfort, right? There's social comfort, there's rapport-based comfort, and there's sexual comfort. So social comfort is what we're going for first. When you ask a pre-opener like, hey, do you know where the movie theater is around here, which is what we were using down in Miami, You're building social comfort. That's a interaction pattern that she's had before, that she's comfortable with, that she understands. So she's not going to get any of her autopilot responses tripped by that, because she's been there before. So you're always going to start in comfort, and that's something that I learned from AFC Adam, who you've also met. You're always in comfort, because as long as she's comfortable talking to you, that element of comfort is there, and we just need to escalate it further towards rapport-based comfort, which is what the whole community considers comfort, and then later towards sexual comfort, which is the stuff that we teach in the Same Night Lays course and stuff. So once you're in that little bit of comfort, you can let it kind of ride out. Like, one of the things that I think you have to internalize now is the idea that you don't have to do that much as long as you keep the conversation moving in the right direction. You don't have to have all sorts of lines and tactics and tricks, but you have to have that uncanny ability to calibrate to when you need to be talking, right? Because those awkward pauses are what were really messing you up. So in those situations, there's a bunch of different things you can do. You can make an observation about the girl, and those can be real or they can be routines, like the see versus you smile or the drop dead gorgeous ex girlfriend story that I taught you guys. But you have to make an you can make an observation. You can also use a phrasal transition, right? You can say something like, that reminds me of, that's just like when, the funniest thing just happened to me. Oh my God, check this out. You're really going to love this story. This reminds me of you, et cetera, et cetera. Another thing you can do is you can just start a new conversational topic based on something in the immediate area, right? Like, one of my things that you always see me do is I'll just randomly make fun of someone, you know, and I'll be like, man, I'm such a people watcher, but I always, you know, make really mean comments in my head. But any of those things will really help you to keep the conversation going. And that's the key right now for you, is we want to just keep them in conversation so that we can do the things that cause attraction later on. What other sets do we have to talk about? We had the set where you got a couple phone numbers over the weekend. Let's talk about those successes so that we can talk about what you could have done better in the successes. Because we talked a lot about what needed to be done in the sets that didn't work so well. Let's talk about those two Israeli girls who were visiting that you were in with a really long time with, because that was one of the best interactions you had all weekend.
Yeah, they were tourists, and it kind of hooked right away. So I sat down and we talked, and I actually was able to identify one target, and I was working on her, but she didn't actually have a phone, and so it was her friend that had the phone, and I wasn't able to get their phone number. And I have been taught enough to know that it's better, obviously, for me to have their phone number. So I had to go with them taking my phone number, and I know that's a bad sign. But my game wasn't strong enough to get them to give me their phone number. So I was hoping they were going to call, but they were leaving the next day, and of course they didn't call.
That's a very common sticking point, right? And at the time I told you there's a real easy way to fix that. Whenever the girl goes, well, let me get your number, take her phone, put it into her phone, and call yourself right in front of her. That way you have her number, she has your number. And if she asks what you're doing, you can just say, you know, I never answer phone numbers that I don't know, so I just assume everyone's like me. And that's a real simple way to just, you'll get the phone number every time there, because it puts a lot of social pressure on her to give you the number when you have the phone in your hand and you've already done it, and you just have a basic explanation that lets her not get drawn back to the fact that you are getting her phone number as well. So that's what you should do every time in that situation from now on. But the really good thing in that was you locked in really well, and you saw the power of how locking in or getting into the position of most confident comfort really changes the interactions. That's one of those things that's kind of an 80-20 rule principle, where it's that 20% of actions that cause 80% of results. And something so simple as sitting down and letting the group reform around you makes a huge difference, because it creates social proof. The girls have to look at themselves, realize that they're surrounding you, and then they have to backwards rationalize that they must be interested in some way. So that was one thing that I really wanted you to do, and the rest of the weekend we worked a lot on that, because especially in the daytime, it can be hard to keep your mind focused on, okay, get into that comfortable, confident position as quickly as possible. Reform the group, get all the attention focused on us. And it can also be uncomfortable when you're not used to being the center of attention. Like, do you ever feel uncomfortable when you walk in?
Of course, yeah. There's times that I felt uncomfortable. I got more comfortable as the time and the days went on. But at first, yeah, you just have to force yourself to do it and get through it. And for me, like we talked about earlier, going through two or three openings, even if I get blown out, it just begins to get me relaxed and gets me in state.
Great. What else? Let's talk a little bit more about questions you have about qualification, and then we'll wrap this up for today.
Well, the qualification, I guess, the main question or really main challenge for me is to just make a smooth transition to getting into qualification, particularly in day game. And One of the things that I've tried to work on since is more filler conversation, which is another point that we wrote down as things to work on. And so one insight came to me is if the set has hooked, you can ask the question, and of course you need the set to have hooked, well, what do you want to know about me? And that gets the girls to invest a little, and also it gives them an opportunity to contribute to the conversation and to react. And so going forward, I want to have more filler conversation, and that's one potential way to do it so that I can then move into qualification much smoother. And the other thing is something that you just said is if it doesn't work, to have the cognizance to recognize that it's not going to work, so to get back into attraction fast enough so that you don't have the awkward pause and get blown out. That's something that insight in Miami, I didn't have that insight. And so that's something I'll be looking for going forward, is to recognize, okay, this isn't going to work, so get back into something attraction so that you can keep the set going and then come back and try it later.
Yeah, another thing is you can also ground to get qualification to work more. And grounding is just explaining why you like this characteristic beforehand as opposed to after the fact, right? That comes from, like, you're explaining what events have happened in your life that led you to want to have these characteristics in a girl. So, for example, I could say something like, if I want the adventurous qualifier to hit, I can say something like, you know, being a writer and wanting to move around the country like I'm doing in the next year has always made me, like, a really adventurous person. I've just always wanted to see, like, the best life has to offer, and I'm always up for a new experience. And so I find that I can really only get along with people who are adventurous. Like, are you adventurous? And just that little bit of explaining about yourself triggers a lot of psychological principles. The first one is the principle of reciprocity, right? Which is the more someone knows about you and the more you invest in the interaction, the more likely they are to tell you about themselves, because humans have evolved to be social creatures. We've had that social bonding. And without that, we wouldn't have been able to survive in the wilderness, because we're not as strong as most animals and we're not as well able to survive. So that bonding and that reciprocity is a huge psychological phenomenon that people have. And by giving something of yourself first, in hypnosis they call it the go first principle, but it applies also in qualification, because you can make them see the reasons you're looking for that. And if you see, I add some passive demonstrations of value. Things like my identity, I'm a writer. Things like the next thing I'm doing, which is this cool tour around the world. And by doing stuff like that, you gain value, but you also gain the momentum to get those qualifiers to hook a lot better. So that's something that you could also do with that list of qualifiers that we've come up with personally for you, is you can add some grounding statements to them, as well as some other ways to build filler conversation. That'll really help you a lot.
Yep, I'm writing that grounding down right now, because that will be perfect, and I've thought of a way that I can take my own life experiences and incorporate that.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Do you have any last question before we get going? Because I do have to jump on another call in a few minutes.
Well, I guess you're going to hear, other viewers are going to hear this, and the one thing that I would like to say, other listeners, is that not only have you helped me with these specific sticking points, but when you first met with me, you sat down and you were very flexible, and you were able to develop a plan that fit the life that I'm in, because as you know, I don't live in New York or LA or a large city, and so that's something that I found extremely valuable. So obviously we're going to keep going forward.
Absolutely. And we'll talk again tomorrow, and we'll talk about all the specifics that we won't get into on this call. I'm especially excited to hear about the 18-year-old ballroom dancer, because that's amazing.
All right, well,
awesome, man. Well, I will talk to you tomorrow, and thank you so much for doing this call with me, and I hope everyone got a lot of value out of it. Talk to you later, man. Bye.
Okay. Bye.